Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, F4Ls worldwide, and whoever else might be bored on a Wednesday night who has nothing better to do than to sit back and have some random chats and so forth. You know, in all my time on the podcast, usually we try to kind of mix it up. And I know the last show I did, which was just 24 hours ago, it was a pretty heavy show. You know, I had to share some, you know, painful truths that I've been feeling for a little while. But like most people will tell you, I'm very honest and bluntly honest sometimes. And I have to tell people how I feel. That's just who I am. And I don't believe in, you know, candy coating things or whatever else. So hopefully I didn't offend anyone. Wasn't my intent. But I did want to make sure people kind of know, like, where I'm at and why I was upset and whatnot. So hopefully people understood and are not, you know, too upset with yours truly. And if you hear me rustling around, which I am, legit, I am making a cup of tea. And I want to thank my wife again for these headphones she got me that allows me to walk around, you know, even though I'm only like 4 feet away from the areas, I'm able to do two things at once, which is very nice. So there's that. And my daughter and my son got me a microphone, I think it was for my birthday, or for Christmas, one of the two, so they can, you know, to help out with the podcast, because not only do they, you know, they know I have a lot of experience and a lot of things to share, and, you know, my kids always appreciated that I always support them, so. And they also, you know, they hear my stories all the time. And quite frankly, I guess they want other people to hear the same things. Excuse me. Kind of clear my throat here. This is kind of a spur of the moment kind of a show. As, like I said, I was just sitting here, as I wrote in the intro, I was sitting here, I was talking to my wife, having a bunch of random wrestling talk. Most people don't know, my wife and I both have a background in pro wrestling. My wife had trained in pro wrestling as a former women's champion. I've talked about my wrestling career before. In fact, the last show I had talked some more about it. You know, I was having an open conversation about wrestling in general, kind of the fun, you know, the fun parts, the aspects and so forth. And had a couple of thoughts I wanted to share with you guys and some things I wanted to point out and whatnot. And, you know, I guess also do a kind of a service, which I'm hoping people understand that I'm not trying to stick up for people. I'm not trying to give people excuses. I think people should be held accountable when they do something wrong. And, of course, I'm referring to, you know, the allegations against Vince McMahon. For those people who don't know, Vince McMahon, who is the owner of World, who is the CEO in the, you know, basically the biggest name of the biggest wrestling organization in the world of all time, World Wrestling Entertainment. For those old school people, the WWF, World Wrestling Federation. Of course, way back in the day, they lost a lawsuit to the World Wildlife Foundation because they had the same acronym, WWF. And that was the one case that McMahon lost in court. So because of that, you know, he had to, change it to World Wrestling Entertainment, which is why it's WWE now. But here's the thing. A lot of people are really quick to jump on the bandwagon and, you know, say, Vince McMahon did this, he's horrible. And there are wrestling fans today, and there's a lot of them, who want to, you know, basically want to hold Vince accountable, say that, you know, Vince McMahon is the reason why, you know, wrestling's not good anymore. And, you know, they want to have all these other companies you know, put Vince out of the business. And I want to be reality. I want to use reality here for you guys right quick. And I also want to give you guys some hard truths. Something I said to my wife actually yesterday that I'm going to share with you guys today is an open discussion about this. And I'll honestly, anyone who knows wrestling is going to be aware of these things. So I'm going to take these things in, you know, kind of spurious thing. I'm going to talk in kind of general terms so everyone can understand. And this tea is very, very hot. I just took out, I just got ready. Whew, that's good. Now, all right. So I started watching wrestling in the 1980s. And, you know, rather than me give, I want to give you guys some background in pro wrestling and whatnot. So those people who've never heard of pro wrestling, who lived under a rock somewhere, pro wrestling is, you know, I mean, pro wrestling has been around since probably the beginning of time. It is a contest between two individuals. In all honesty, I guess you'd say it's sports theater where you have a villain and you have a good guy and a bad guy, good versus evil, in a kind of a gladiator kind of a thing, contest, we find out who would be winning, who would win between those fights. Those people who are familiar with Greco-Roman wrestling, you know, the wrestling and the sport of wrestling has been around since the Roman days and even before that. I participated in Greco-Roman wrestling in high school. Did fairly well in it, too. Spoiler alert for those people who who are thinking about going to junior high school wrestling team, but you're fans of the stuff you see on TV. Yeah, you're not going to do that there. There's no such thing as a, you know, fly-in head scissors there, nor is there a F5 or a jackknife or a spear. Because, in fact, if you do any of those things in Greco-Roman wrestling you would do in high school, you would lose. It would be a disqualification, as one of the general rules is you can't perform any maneuvers that is risks life or limb. That's kind of a written rule there. So if anything is going to put any harm, it'll put someone serious in jeopardy, those things would be not allowed, which is why a lot of it is grappling in general, which is why, you know, my obviously my background in judo helped me out, and as well as the martial arts that I had prior to the high school wrestling team. Of course, you know, realistically, I also wanted to do the stuff you saw on TV too, because that's kind of what I liked. But here's how wrestling worked back in the day. Way back when pro wrestling came to really be, I mean, you had, you know, basically it was a contest, as I mentioned, between good versus evil, a good guy and a bad guy, and fans would come to spectate and cheer for the good guy and boo the bad guy. And this became a spectacle, and this was meant to draw a crowd, and, you know, people said, you know, let's all pick to this. It may or may not have been started at, you know, carnivals and stuff like that or fairs. They'd have, you know, test the strong man, and they'd have, like, I guess it's one of the first early counts is they'd have, like, at these state fairs that used to be all over the place, they would have, you know, the tough guy, hey, you know, we'll, anyone, you know, open challenge to anyone who can beat the strongest man in the world. And usually what would happen is there would be someone who would be there, who would be in the crowd, who would take up that challenge, who would be working with that person, and they would, you know, fight and see who the best man was. And I want to point out that a lot of people are under the assumption that wrestling is fake and that wrestling is strictly theater and strictly fictitious. No one gets hurt. And I can say from experience that is the furthest thing from the truth. To be successful in pro wrestling, you go to wrestling school. You have to have serious training. You have to have dedication. You have to have discipline to do so. You have to have a passion for it. You have to be willing to earn nothing in the beginning and just run on the adrenaline. Be able to suck up the pain, and there you go. Be able to pray your dues, and there you go. That is the art of pro wrestling. Now, talking in the terms of, you know, what we're talking about today, we're talking about modern pro wrestling and what we know of pro wrestling today. Vince McMahon Jr., who you all know, he is Vince McMahon that a lot of people know. What you might not know is prior to him, his father actually had the Worldwide Wrestling Federation. That's WWWF. So three W's instead of two. And Vince Sr. had an agreement. That's Vince's dad, for those people who don't know. And back in the days when Vince McMahon Sr. had, you know, started in wrestling, he was part of the phenomenon, the eras where different parts of at least the United States and also Canada and Mexico, they had what they called territories. They had, you know, they had a New England territory, which was, you know, primarily Vince McMahon Sr. You had, you know, Texas Wrestling was run down by Fritz Von Erich, and the Von Erichs were big in Texas, the Funks. Then you go, you know, up to Calgary, you had the Hearts. In Canada, you had the Hearts, you had the Rougeaus, you had the Bravos. You know, they were all up there. In, like, the Midwest, you'd have, you know, Bruiser Brody group, the Sheiks groups there. You know, you had a California group, the San Francisco had a group, Florida had a thing, there was Memphis, of course, which was run by Jerry Lawler. You had, there's all these different territories, Memphis, you know, Kentucky, St. Louis, all these areas had territories. So they had different, the way it worked is they'd have, you know, usually there'd be one big champion that would come into whatever your territory was. And they would defend it against whoever that champion of the town was, of that district. And that's kind of the way it was. And there was kind of an unwritten rule where guys could go wherever as long as they could get there. There was no, like, you know, you have to work for me or else you can't go anywhere else. Because all honesty, in pro wrestling, you know, then and now, you know, at first there's not a lot of money into it, believe it or not. A lot of your first times, especially back then, you would have to, you know, usually get in your car and drive town to town to make some money. A lot of the times the money you would earn at these shows would be enough for your gas, your hotel perhaps. And of course, you're in charge of a lot of those things. You're in charge of your transportation, where you're going to be, your food, all that stuff. The company just pays you if they're lucky. And, of course, there's stories of that, you know, may or may not happening, and that's where conflicts can happen. That's not what we're talking about today. But when Vince McMahon Sr. Took over, you know, bought the company from his dad, Vince McMahon Jr., that you guys all know as Vince McMahon or Mr. McMahon, he took over the company in the early 80s from his dad. He bought the company from his dad. Before that, he was into radio and business and things like that. His dad had an agreement with all these various territory promoters like himself that he would never, you know, you wouldn't, you know, double book in the same area when they were doing a show. You wouldn't do a show. You wouldn't, you know, poach different talents. You wouldn't go in and try to take someone else's toes. You wouldn't try to shut anyone else out. That was kind of an unwritten kind of agreement that Vince McMahon Sr. had, that's Vince's dad, with all of these local promoters. When Vince McMahon Jr., the one we're talking about today, he took over. What he did is he basically bought the company from his dad, and, you know, people can have various different takes on it. A lot of people are upset with him because he, quote, killed the territory days. And I want to say a couple things. This, again, was done before I was involved in pro wrestling. I grew up in the 80s. And by the time I was already watching wrestling, Vince McMahon Jr. was already the guy who I knew as Vince McMahon is always, and that was even before I even knew anything about Vince McMahon even being involved in wrestling, because I was a young kid and I didn't know how anything worked. But I enjoyed learning and watching the various different, you know, areas and things like that. Now, that being said, now, with Vince McMahon Jr., we're going to say Vince McMahon from now on because he doesn't like to be called Jr., and I don't blame him. because technically he's not a junior. But anyway, when Vince McMahon, that we all know, came to power and he started, you know, really building what the WWE would become, he went and he got, you know, Hulk Hogan. He got, you know, it is very true that the first employee was, you know, first of all, what a lot of people don't know is he, first of all, kept anyone that his dad already had a good standing relationship with the Worldwide Wrestling Federation, which his dad already had established. And what he basically did is he had those talents and then he built on that. It's something a lot of people don't want to acknowledge, and it is kind of documented. A lot of people know that Vince is very loyal to the guys who are loyal to his dad and that have been loyal to him. That's how Vince McMahon works. And here's the thing about it. A lot of the times, and admittedly, a lot of the times Vince McMahon's name is in the headlines whenever there's an issue with wrestling, whenever something happens with his company. He is kind of the guy who gets the hit, because if you're going to blame pro wrestling, you got to go after the biggest wrestling company in the world to hold accountable whenever there's something to do with wrestling. And I can talk about this because in the 80s and the 90s, you know, a lot of people, a lot of parents would, you know, get upset because their kids were, you know, backyard wrestling and blaming it on wrestling. Listen, I am a kid who watched pro wrestling on the schoolyard, yeah, we did the wrestling around, but we also knew not to kill each other. We did it respectfully. We didn't do stupid things that they did after that. But in the same sense, we were little kids. We didn't know any better. But we didn't blame that on pro wrestling. We did that because we wanted to do what they did, but it wasn't because of pro wrestling. It was because we wanted to be those heroes. But we also, you know, had common sense. We knew not to jump off buildings. We knew not to hit each other with light bulbs and go through tables and stupid things like that. We're talking about like more like upper scale Greco-Roman schoolyard wrestling. Not such a big deal back then. But, you know, so, you know, of course, Vince McMahon's name would come up whenever there was some issue with pro wrestling. Someone got hurt in wrestling. Some kid would hit, something would happen. They would blame wrestling. And, of course, Vince McMahon would be the eyeballs everyone would look at. And he's that figurehead that whenever the media or people outside the wrestling world want to say, hey, what is this wrestling stuff? They look at him and hold him accountable. He's going to be the juggernaut of that. And any way you look at it, that's the facts on that. So Vince in the 80s is responsible for coming up with the ideas of WrestleMania. And he, you know, a lot of people didn't think he could do that. WrestleMania was a big deal. WrestleMania is a worldwide phenomenon. Whether you're a wrestling fan or you're not a wrestling fan, everyone has heard of WrestleMania. And that is because of Vince McMahon. And WrestleMania is still going to this day. It was started out as something a lot of people laughed at Vince McMahon for. It was an event that was going to be not just pro wrestling that we all know. We were going to get the payoffs to all those big fights we always wanted to have. We wanted to find out what's going to happen when Hogan meets Andre for the first time. We want to see Andre the Giant and Big John Studd, who's going to go up for that body slam? We're going to see that 20-man battle royal, you know, with stars from football and the NFL in there. Refrigerator Perry up there entangling with the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, Jim Neidhart. This is back in the 80s now. Because in the 80s is really, in my opinion, when wrestling jumped from something people were kind of quiet about liking to something that was becoming part of pop culture. A lot of people, you know, wrestling has a really nasty stigmatic effect to when people hear about it. Because they automatically, whenever they think of pro wrestling, number one, that comes to be a lot of people who have never done it or enjoyed it or whatever, or don't get it, will automatically be quick to hate on it, say things like, oh, it's fake, it's not real, it's scripted. It's, you know, whatever. And that's from people who have never done it. But also, the same thing could be said about, you know, why do you want to watch nine guys try to hit a little ball around a yard and then, you know, for hours and hours, and then no one, then you get like two hits can win. I mean, that's baseball, ladies and gentlemen. So everyone has, you know, everyone has their likes. You can like anything you want in sports. But here's the other thing, you know, in the 80s, you know, when, you know, wrestling was starting to become what it was, everyone knows who Hulk Hogan is. Everyone probably has heard of Roddy Piper. And a lot of these big stars that Vince McMahon helped build crossed over into the film, television world. And again, this is due to the influence of Vince McMahon. Now, again, to be fair, there were people who were in there before him. We had these territories, we had these other promoters all around the country. And people can be upset and blame Vince for, quote, killing the business. But I want to let you guys think about something.
Okay.
A lot of people, you know, recently even, it's, you know, this whole steroid. So everyone's heard about the infamous steroid trial that Vince McMahon had to go against in, back in the 80s. So steroids, performance-enhancing drugs, are, you know, illegal in sports or in general. They're dangerous and they're not healthy and, you know, et cetera. And they're banned and they're illegal. And, you know, Vince McMahon had claims that no one did it, and there was a whole trial about it. And, you know, the country of the United States tried to, you know, take out Vince McMahon for, you know, participating in distributing these things. Like, he was the one injecting these things into these people. By the way, he won that case, just so people know. He was found not guilty and there was no issues. But even back then, you know, that's where you can start your trail of people who constantly try to bring Vince McMahon to court, trying to beat, quote, the WWE and Vince McMahon. Now, I'm not saying it's all a ball of roses. I'm not saying he's a perfect angel. I'm also not saying that, you know, the allegations are true or not true. I'm not saying no one should ever be, you know, subjected if those things actually happened or whatever. But I think it's important to realize, as much as people want to say, oh, well, he should have lost that steroid trial back in the 80s. Now, I want you guys to really think about this, who are actual wrestling fans. Let's say Vince McMahon lost that steroid trial. He was the head of the World Wrestling at that time, World Wrestling Federation, which we all know now as the WWE, which is still in existence in its entirety from when Vince McMahon bought it and has been taking care of it since he took over from his dad. If it lost back in the 80s, WrestleMania would not have happened. Also, if he had lost, I want you guys to really think, all the marks out there who like to hate on the Vince McMahon and the WWE, for example, you can't deny, nor could you say that, you know, you can hate on it all you want, but the reality is, if Vince McMahon had lost that trial, and if he was not in charge of the WWE then, and he had lost, that would have been the end of the WWE. That would have been, all of those superstars would be nothing, would be doing nothing anymore. They would probably be left with what? The choice of going to WCW, which in the 80s was just kind of finding its footing. It wasn't even wasn't really what WCW would become in the late 90s. But this trial happened in the 80s, which means if Vince McMahon had lost that steroid trial, WCW probably would have been the big thing, because what else are you going to have for wrestling? It would have been under the Ted Turner era. And I want you guys to know that WCW went bankrupt. It was run by Ted Turner, who's a multi-billionaire, much like Vince McMahon is, on his own. And, you know, people can question it all day, but the reality of it is, if Vince McMahon was not in charge of wrestling, and did not win from the 80s trial and the steroid trial and beat all of those things and continuing to show up and continues to put on a show for people worldwide, continues to forgive those who either testify against him literally or continuously try to badger him or whatever. And people only hear half of the stories about, you know, people like a Vince McMahon. We're all, you know, you're all led to believe that Vince McMahon is this heartless, soulless corporate monster. I can tell you from hearing from other people who have been in the business a lot longer than I have and what I've seen in my own self for working for the company, don't believe everything you hear. I know for the fact that Vince McMahon has bought houses for people who could not afford houses, bought cars for people who needed a car, has given money to charities just for the heck of it. When he goes out to eat, he covers everyone there, and he gives a tip of at least $100 to the waiter or waitress or whatever the case may be. So as much as people want to say Vince McMahon is this soulless, heartless monster, that's not really what the case is. It's just he's a business guy who has to run a company. He has to be one step ahead of himself. And if Vince McMahon had lost that steroid trial or any of the trials prior to this, and if WWE was not around for the, you know, Monday Night War that would come to be, and I'm going to tell you right now, you know, I've, you know, ever since going to my first live show, I knew I wanted to be part of this regardless. And it was a WWE show. WCW, World Wrestling, World Championship Wrestling, was out of Atlanta. So a lot of people in the South got to see a lot more of that stuff. I remember watching the rebroadcast up here in the New England area. And I'm like, why don't they ever come up to New England? I never see their names up here. They always go over to the South. I never see them up here, or very rare. This is going back to the 80s. I would watch, you know, both, and I still watch both. You're a wrestling fan. You're a wrestling fan. You watch it all. Take it for what it is. Now, things could go on or whatever, but I want to bring it to present day. I want you guys all to think about what we all know, what came down the pike with wrestling before this AEW thing came to be. Tony Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is a NFL football team, not a very good one, by the way. That's not because they're not my football team. They're not, but that's just statistically they've never won a Super Bowl and whatnot. Their English football team, that's soccer, is also not very good. And he's running a company for wrestling. I'm going to suspend my feelings towards what Tony Khan does and how he runs AEW for a second. Because the reality it is, if Vince had lost in that trial in the 80s and he was not in charge of it, who would have taken over? I know this question has been asked to many people. Who would have been taking over? Would wrestling have succeeded then? Would it still live? And I'm going to say no, probably not. Because it has been Vince McMahon who has been the flag bearer for pro wrestling, regardless what company someone does something in. It's them who everyone looks at. A lot of people want to blame Vince McMahon for various different accidents that have happened in pro wrestling. Yeah, they suck. And yes, he puts on a show, and yeah, he continued on a show when a guy died, and that was very sad. And I'm not saying I agree with that or not, but I want to point out, even back then, if he had failed there, that took place in 1999. That was the height of the money. That was actually in the midst of what would become Monday Night War, really. And that was when everyone was watching wrestling. I don't care who anybody was. If anyone's alive in the late 90s, early 2000s, everyone was watching WCW or WWE or both. That's a reality. Monday nights, Thursday nights, Friday nights, whatever. Because you go outside of pro wrestling, everyone's doing the same chants, the same chops, the diamond cutter signs. They're doing the DX chop, crotch chop. They're doing the too sweet thing from NWO. People who aren't in pro wrestling, everyone woos, okay? So to discredit pro wrestling as not athletes or, you know, people and like that, that's going to be said, that's going to have to be saved for another topic. But if we're talking about Vince McMahon in general, and we're going to suspend our beliefs on what would have happened if he wasn't successful, and if he had lost back then, if he had not been in charge of wrestling all throughout that time in WWE, then wrestling probably wouldn't be on right now. There would be no wrestling because WWE wouldn't have succeeded because of Vince McMahon's tedious work ethic that WWE is still there. Yeah, sometimes some things stink and sometimes the creative isn't the greatest. But you know what? The guy tries. I give him that. And also, prior to recently, he has had multiple different roles that he has to play on top of being a creative guy. He has a lot to do. And I can tell you from someone who has worked promoting, doing those shows and my own, it's a lot of work to put on a show. And Vince McMahon knows more than a lot of other people. He has to create characters. He has to create something out of nothing. And people can blame him for pro wrestling not being good, but also they should be thanking him as well. Because if it wasn't for Vince McMahon, who took WWE in the 80s, beat Congress, and continued with the WWE initiative, what they continue to do. I'm going to tell you something. Guys like the Hardy Boys would not have had a place. ECW wouldn't have existed because no one would want to, that wouldn't be as popular. The Hardy Boys, a lot of these popular people that we all know today who are pop culture people would not have existed because there's no place for them to work or be inspired because they wouldn't have watched it. It wouldn't have existed. They would have said, oh, what's this old show that used to be on? And guys, companies that came on after Vince McMahon, WCW, ECW. And now remember, I'm an original ECW guy. So I can, Paul Heyman is someone also who will give credit where credit is due. And that's why I have to look at everything in different aspects. And I'm not saying what he is accused of is right or wrong. But I think what's important to realize is to kind of draw the line between hold people accountable for what they do wrong here, but do not forget what the guy did in general for the business as a whole. A lot of people are quick to not like Vince McMahon. These mostly are people from outside of the wrestling community. News media who don't know what they're doing. It's a hot topic. So it's quick to point the blame. And Vince McMahon is going to be the guy they point at because he is the biggest of the biggest company. Tony Khan of AEW would probably not have had the ideas to do what he's doing now because a lot of the things he credits to be seen are from WWE. Or they're from ideas he had seen from people who had worked under Vince McMahon. A lot of the guys who have made AEW better since joining his company are guys from, guess where? The WWE. Prior to guys coming from WWE, I'm going to tell you, AEW was not doing anything because they weren't going to support having a company with a bunch of nobodies. At the time that AEW started, the biggest name they had was Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho, let's not forget, is not someone who most people with a level head can say, oh yeah, that's who I'm proud to represent my company. The guy's family and possibly himself were involved in one of the craziest things in a country ever. That's egg on the face of the company, not just himself. That's not someone you glorify either. That's the actions of someone who should be stripped of the title and vacated and fired. because he makes your company look bad. But instead, he is featured on the show 7-8 times a week because right now, even, he's the biggest thing you got going. He went out and got a bunch of guys from the independent circuit, which I get that. I'm from the independent circuit, too. But he got guys that aren't trained well or aren't trained at all. There are guys who he has as vice presidents are guys who learned how to wrestle in the backyard, not being officially trained by an actual pro wrestling school, certified by an actual pro wrestler. They learned to wrestle in the backyard. That's two of his vice presidents who, by the way, just became the tag team champions, go figure, again. And whatnot. I'm not trying to go after AEW again, because that's just, I can do that for about, that could go be a very easily thing. And that would be just using fact after fact after fact. And you would have to absolutely be blind. You'd have to absolutely have no mind whatsoever to not see those issues for yourself. If you can overlook them, then you're a part of the problem, not the solution. Guys have been injured severely. That's from these high spots, and that's from these, you know, holy crap chants that people like to chant. That's not because, you know, the wrestlers are not, you know, you don't see Bruno. Back when wrestling was starting, guys, the biggest names out there, Bruno Sammartino, my trainer, Killer Kowalski, you know, that era, you're not going to see them doing jumping off the top rope off to a guy off the going through a table. They're not going to see that. You'll see them fight like real men. You'll see them put on a show. You'll see an extravaganza of toughness. That's what you'll see. But you're not going to see Bruno Sammartino doing a moonsault off the top rope, because that doesn't make any sense. And it puts himself and other people at risk. He is someone who has been outspoken about a lot of that. That's one of the reasons he had issues with, you know, this new era of people who started jumping around the ring and doing all these risky maneuvers. And it comes down to the fact you should know what your skill set is, and you should have learned that in wrestling school. You should know that. McMahon is someone who I believe he looks at everyone, he gives people a chance, and if they don't work, they don't work. People want to quickly blame him for holding Triple H's guys down. I want to say something else. Triple H trained at my wrestling school, and I have met every single one of them, and I have a lot of respect for every single one of them, but here's the reality of it. I just had this conversation with my wife also. It's actually kind of cool to have a wife that loves wrestling as much as you do. I am not watching pro wrestling currently. I've pointed that out. That doesn't mean I don't know what's going on, right? But Adam Cole is probably the best example of this. She said, people like to say how small he is and all that. So I said, no, honey, he's always been small. That's the issue. See, and I pointed out that when he was in NXT rather, which is, you know, the WWE's like training show, I guess you'd say, which is now on Tuesday nights. But that's kind of where they get the guys ready to go to the main roster, which is either on Raw or SmackDown. They have NXT as a way to evaluate them, to get them, you know, TV time to learn. The problem is not all of them are that good, and also they're all the same kind of blasé, bland kind of people. Adam Cole, if you remember, was someone who would fairly fight the same people a lot. Yeah, he could put on a great match with a guy his size, or barely some smaller guys, you know, bigger guys. I think the biggest guy he actually fought was probably Walter, maybe. That didn't work out well for him. And I think it wasn't until his feud with, you know, Pat McAfee, who, in my opinion, who, by the way, also has a podcast. You should check out the Pat McAfee show. And I have a lot of respect for Pat McAfee, and he made me respect him from his work ethic, for his respect for pro wrestling, and the fact that he was able to go into a ring. Now, to be fair, Pat McAfee was a football player. But Pat McAfee, who also has a podcast, as I mentioned, and currently is doing commentary on SmackDown, that man can cut a promo. That man can get heat, good or bad. The guy knows how to tell a story in a ring. The guy has more athletic ability than half the guys on the roster, and outperforms anyone in the NXT at that point. There's that. And I'm not the only one, obviously, because Vince McMahon, not only did Vince McMahon give him a staying job, but he also is on his podcast. And how often have you ever seen Vince McMahon ever go on anyone's podcast or interview show? So there's that. Vince McMahon knows what he's doing is the other thing. I know a lot of people don't, you know, what happened to Vince. Vince has got a lot of things going on. He probably has been dealing whatever this issue is going a lot longer, and people are just finding out about it now. They've been releasing, you know, talent coming, you know, fist, hand over fist. And a lot of people are like, well, why are they doing that? Are they getting ready to sell? It doesn't matter. I don't think that's the case. I don't think he's going to sell the company. I think he's actually trying to get rid of the people, not necessarily get rid of, but he's trying to release the people he currently doesn't have anything for. But if they can find something to him, make them some money, why not? That's who Vince McMahon really is, not this character people want to believe that he is. But the other thing is, he's also a smart businessman. Maybe, and I, this is a theory that was put out there by someone who I also have a lot of respect for, because he also is like me, is outspoken. He calls the bullshit, and says it how it is. And that is Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette and his co-host Brian Last, I'll be the first to admit, I listen to their show, and I love everything that they say, because I agree with everything they say. I don't watch the pro wrestling. I actually feel bad that they watch all these shows every week. But if it wasn't for them being able to, you know, talk about these things and put them in layman's terms, I wouldn't know anything that's going on. And I want to let people know, no, I'm not, you know, saying, well, you're obviously not, you know, open to new things. It's not that at all. It's because anytime I glance up over my computer when my wife is watching, I say, well, obviously Jim Cornette's going to have something to say about that, because I think this is dumb. Sure enough, on Jim Cornette's show, he'll do the exact same thing that I had. So there's that. And so, you know, I just want to, I guess the moral of this show, and again, I'm not trying to, you know, excuse Vince McMahon for what he had part of whatever this issue is, where he may or may not have bribed someone he had a relationship with or an affair. Guess what? That's behind closed doors. He's taken, you know, he's already stepped down. And he's taken that responsibility. He's done that, okay? But if people think that that's going to be the end of Vince McMahon or the WWE, I want you to have this mindset. Back in the 80s, when this discussion was going on then, well, my goodness, this steroid trial, this is going to ruin Vince McMahon and the WWE. They're not going to be around anymore. Fast forward to 2022, and Vince McMahon and the WWE is still going strong, still have a portfolio out the world. Everyone knows WrestleMania still to this day. None of those things would happen if it wasn't for Vince McMahon succeeding and continuing to do that. Yeah, he's a lot of the times Vince McMahon is the scapegoat for anything that has to do, anything that goes wrong in pro wrestling. Someone has an incident inside of the ring, it's Vince McMahon's fault, not the guy who, you know, took the spot. Did he force you? Did he not? I don't know. We weren't there. We can't decide that. But tragedies happen every day. They happen in the workplace. He took ownership. He did what he had to do for that, and he moved on. Yes, because he has a show to do. He has a job, and that's how he works. Does it sound like it's nice? No. But if he had ended it then, if he ended it back in late 99, wrestling would not exist. Facts. There would be nothing on television for anyone to watch. Because if he had lost in the 80s, yeah, WCW was just starting. Oh, would it have? Because remember, Ted Turner and World Championship Wrestling didn't even want to start, because Ted Turner wanted to see if he could beat Vince McMahon in the 80s. Because that's when the ball really started running. And if that didn't happen, he wouldn't have started WCW, because he wanted to compete with Vince McMahon, a fellow billionaire. And what happened to WCW? It went bankrupt. Ted Turner cut it loose. Vince McMahon bought it. A lot of people blame Vince McMahon. He bought, you know, took out ECW. Nope, you're wrong again. WWE and Vince McMahon was actually beneficial to ECW in their early days, helped them out in the beginning, had them on their show, helped them on their podcast, gave them talents when they needed it. Paul Heyman will tell you that too. And I was part, you know, the reality is WWE has helped ECW more than has ever hurt it. Unfortunately, there are people in WWE who, you know, thanks to them staying up all night or staying late up at night with a pen and paper, wrote down a lot of Paul Heyman's ideas and brought them to WWE TV. Well, not speaking of any names, but it is a Vince, but it's, his last name's not McMahon. But that's reality. That's how that works. Anyone who is there knows these things. I'm just the one that's got the guts to say it because I say it how it is. But the reality of it is Vince McMahon, the WWE, helped ECW when they were around. They went bankrupt because they just went bankrupt. They couldn't pay the bills or whatever. It went belly up. And then Vince McMahon bought all of the rights to ECW. Then he bought all the other tapes from all the other things he made, gave wrestling fans a network where they could watch all of these wrestling shows as much as they wanted for $10 a month. How horrible of a guy to give people archives for watching wrestling, not just WWE that is his, but also showing what his competitors were doing, showing what other territories are doing. This isn't the work of someone who wants to end pro wrestling. This isn't the work of someone who wants to glorify WWE. This is a guy who has a passion to provide for fans. He knows entertainment. Yes, he is labeled, you know, pro wrestling entertainment and entertainers and whatever. But reality of it is it wouldn't exist if it wasn't for him. And people can hate on it all they want, but that's just the reality of it. Hulk Hogan wouldn't have been as big without a Vince McMahon to guide him, to put him in these scenarios, to bring in all these big guys to make him look good every single time, to build the Hulkster up. That was Vince McMahon. It was Vince McMahon's guts, his determination, his endless... They kept WWE where it is now. Does the show stink as far as creative goes? Hey, things happen. But guess what? Back not long ago, I took a break from WWE too because they were doing things I didn't agree with. Guess what? I watched another show. I watched that. And guess what? When I came back, they picked it up again. They got better. Here we are in 2022. And there's now, you have, you know, another company that is on television twice a week. I don't watch any of this stuff because I think it's all horrible. But you know what? That's that break I'm taking because I respect for the guys who are still there, who I shared a locker room with. And I don't want to see them made look like fools. And I don't want to see them get hurt. I don't want to see them getting egg on their face if something goes wrong. So, out of respect for them in the business, I took a break. And I would much rather listen to other people talk about it, and then I can make my own assumptions. Not even assumptions, but they're pretty much estimated. When it comes to social media and people who like to badger people on social media, wrestlers who have all these things to say on, you know, Twitter or whatever else, oh, man, you know, I think social media is the thing that has destroyed pro wrestling more than anything else or pop culture in general. It is because of social media that spoilers, that term spoil alert has to even be a thing. Because in the old days, the old days of, you know, spoil alert was if you saw something on Friday night at school, On a Friday night, if you went to the movies, if you went to school on Monday and told everyone what happened on the movie that just came out on Friday, then that was a spoiler. But if you didn't do that, there was no spoiler. And the only other thing that was a spoiler is if you watch television one night, the next day in school was when everyone was talking about it. That was when spoiler alerts happened. Now the term spoiler alert comes from anyone from anywhere in the world who watches something, who just puts it out there for everyone to see. People in wrestling have aired their dirty laundry out there. People have pissed and moaned on social media. People have, you know, shared their, you know, frustrations. Hey, we all need a vocal point. We all have a voice. I know this week I had some things to say. I had to release the frustrations I've had, the feelings I've had the other day. I feel amazing today. I haven't been on Instagram. It's not on my phone. My wife and my family have, you know, stepped into the Instagram thing for me for a little while. I still have my email, so people can still email me if they need to get a hold of me. If you have my phone number, you can obviously call me there the old-fashioned way. But all honesty, not looking at social media today has been awesome because I just have more time to do so many other things. I am planning to do that one last show, you know, and I can do more of these podcasts to have more of these discussions, not just about this, but of all of other kinds of other things, dissect certain things and maybe show you guys how to look at three different ways. And, you know, this is a story I have to tell you guys, because I think it's important to realize a lot of the times in social media is the biggest thing. This is because what happens now, someone has a bad experience meeting someone or something happening, and it's easy for someone to gripe about it on social media or someone else, and then, you know, everyone has to jump on it and attack the person, whoever they're talking about, before having all the facts lined up and before knowing the whole story. I'm going to tell you a story that a wrestling buddy of mine, another guy who I see as a mentor and someone who also I think is also a wrestling smart guy in wrestling. And I know this is going to sound a lot worse for some. I'm also a fan of Bruce Pritchard. A lot of people don't know who that is. That's Brother Love. And I said before, as a wrestling person, as someone who's been in pro wrestling, you never stop learning. I am a sponge. I like to learn the backstories of things that happened before my time. When I was training at Kowalski's, I enjoyed listening to Kowalski talk about the old days and how he did things and the origins. That's important to me, and I think it's important to share. And that's why I love to learn and hear about the old stories, how things were, because the only way we can get better as a show is to keep it going. And what people don't realize, if there's no one watching any of these wrestling shows, if people start losing interest in the shows themselves, don't believe in the magic that it is, or they have lack of options to maybe they like this one, but they don't like that one, you lose wrestling and you've ended an era and you've taken away something that has been part of pop culture and crossed over and extended past what it is supposed to be. It has survived like the cockroach that it is because of the want of the crowd. The crowd loves being part of it. It's part, you get to boo, you get to cheer. It's interactive. It's live theater. But don't think it's fake. There's no faking gravity. There's no ropes involved. There's no spring under the rope, into the mat, and all these other fake things that anyone who tells you that they know about the ins and outs of wrestling usually don't. I remember one time in wrestling school, actually, we watched a, quote, wrestling documentary. It was going to tell you, the quote, the secrets of pro wrestling. And about three-quarters of this, you know, TV show that was aired on, like, one of the channels that didn't like wrestling, you know, aired a bunch of things that weren't real. There's a microphone under the ring. There's a spring. There's a hydraulic system that gets the jump of the ring and all these other things. And I'm going to tell you, none of that is accurate. I think I've talked before about how a ring is constructed. If I haven't, here, let me give it to you again. a wrestling ring, standard wrestling ring, could come in, you know, any size. We're talking about a standard square circle, if you would. That's the ring. Now, your ring, you have four steel beams that are put, that are, you know, measured out. And then you have cross beams that connect those. Then you have another steel beam that connects those, kind of like a connector set. Remember those? Or Legos? You have to build a square on the outside. And then you got to put the steel beams that are long and thin that go over and crisscross underneath over that metal frame that you already built that is hopefully in the square that it should be, that you've already mapped out. After that is done, then you put the plywood that goes over the steel beams that are already there, and you make sure they don't go anywhere. And then you put the, like, one-inch pad that goes over that. It's a one-inch pad. It's not like this, you know, cushy memory foam thing that you probably think it is. That goes underneath there. That goes on top of the, you know, plywood that goes over the steel beams. And now you have to put the ropes on. Now you put the ropes on, which are steel cables wrapped in tape. That's reality. These are steel, like telephone cables. That's what the ropes are made of. That gives it the spring. And then those are wrapped in medical tape or some type of electrical or sporting tape, pretty thick. That's what your ropes are made of. And then that goes on there. The buckles are hooked on by hooks and levers and stuff like that. That goes on there. That's how they're connected to the ring. And now you have a ring. And then, depending on what kind of a show it is, you put whatever either the tarp or the what they call the curtain, as they call it. And the curtain is what goes over the canvas, if you would, that goes over the plywood, over the metal beams. That's like the thing that has like your company's logo on it or designs or whatever. Sometimes if you ever see them go live, you'll see them, you know, taking that down or changing that. That's that curtain. That's the only thing that's above that plywood. And sometimes in some of these matches, you'll actually see them break down the ring in these stupid matches when they do that, exposing it even more, showing that it's just plywood under a very thin beam that goes over the thing. Now, here's the other fun part. When people say the hardest part of the ring is the outside, where the wrestler was sitting outside the ropes, the reason why it's the hardest part is because there's no padding on there, because padding comes usually in squares or rectangles. And in order to do the, you know, square circle, everything has to line up. And there's no such thing as a pad that goes over or under. So the hardest part of the ring is because it's just the beam that is around the outside of those ropes. That's just the beam, and it's a very thick, like, building beam. That's what holds the ring up. That is connected to the posts that are already up. And those posts are held down, you know, usually, you know, hopefully in some fashion, being weighed down in some fashion. And they have like a stake on those, and theirs are, you know, basically spiked in. That's how that works. That's what a wrestling ring is, folks. That's the mystery. Now, if you're wondering, well, how do they make the spring things? Well, that's because those steel beams that I talked about, that are long and thin, when the way they're positioned is that they have this kind of a give to them a little bit. So you actually have a little bit of movement in there. So it has the illusion that it moves up and down, but that's because you have to make it move up and down. And that's because the beams are going crisscross underneath those plywoods. And because plywood is very flexible as well, that's what gives it that flexible thing. It's the wrestlers who do that. As far as the noises go, there's no microphone attached to the PA system. There's no sound that makes that. That's the sound of the wrestlers themselves if they're good enough at selling, which is the art of making the fans believe everything. They kind of kill each other. That has nothing to do with a microphone under the ring. Anyone who's ever been to a show you can hear it or you can't hear it because that's how it works. So now you've been educated how to put a ring together. But the whole thing, but this takes me back to, like I was saying. So a story that was told by Bruce Pritchard, I wanted to share with you guys because I think it's important, because I think a lot of people can apply this to various different places, the kind of the misunderstanding. And this is how social media works too, and why it's kind of destructive, really. Excuse me, I think it's from my tea. Sorry. Thank you again for brutalities for my tea. It's my Toastbusters one here. My French Toastbusters is one of my favorites. Anywho, now, story by Bruce Pritchard that he tells, and I can relate to this. A lot of people who have been in this position can. Bruce Pritchard, who is, you know, he's a creative guy. He works behind the scenes normally, but he also portrays Brother Love on screen. He was in the airport, and he was going because he had an emergency. His wife, who was sick in a hospital with cancer, and she was having a hard time with cancer at that moment. Like the moment he was going to the airport, he was in a rush to get to the hospital to be with his sick wife who was having some issues with the cancer. Rushing through the airport, and fans, these wrestling fans, were there at the airport who wanted pictures and autographs. And he said, listen, I have an emergency. I really got to go. It could be really, really quick. And he signed what he could. He took pictures if he could. But he's like, listen, I really got to go. I don't have time for this. He got on the plane, and he had to get to his wife, who was in the hospital sick with cancer. The people who he said, no, I can't sign. I got to go right now because of whatever the thing. Those people went and told everyone else that Bruce Pritchard doesn't like his fans. He's mean. He's disrespectful to his fans. He's ungrateful to his fans. What a mean guy. Here's the thing. Anyone who's ever been in a situation where someone you care about is in emergency status, I want you to picture yourself in this situation where someone you care about is in a hospital. Someone's hurt. Your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your best friend, your girlfriend, your wife, your kids are in the hospital. Something happened. You know there's an emergency. Someone's having a hard time. If you are a real man, you want to be there as fast as possible. But yet you have 700 people at an airport or someone standing in front of you wanting you to sign your name on a piece of paper. Take a picture for me. Smile for my camera. Why aren't you smiling for my picture? And all of these things. And then finally, when you got to go, they go ahead and say, you're mean because you wouldn't stop and take 700 more pictures for them or sign 7 more items for them to sell on eBay while your wife or your person you care about is sick in a hospital. And I can tell you this, in reality, Bruce Pritchard has no problem signing an autograph when there's not an emergency going. That goes for a lot of us who are old school, who know the importance of our fans. We love our fans. They are important to us. Our families are also important to us. And you have to put yourself in a situation where, but immediately people went online on social media, said Bruce Pritchard's mean, he's disrespectful, he wouldn't sign my picture and autograph. But they also didn't know that his wife was sick in the hospital with cancer and wasn't doing very well. This is kind of the reason I tell this story is because always listen to, before you jump to conclusions, you read something, know that maybe you're only hearing half the story. Now, Vince McMahon, this whole thing that he's involved with right now, it happened or it didn't happen, whatever the case may be. I don't think it's really up to the public to get involved with this. Let people take care of what they have to take care of and keep it moving. But to make a circus out of it, you have to understand that anyone who feeds into something like that, you're actually spitting on the wrestling business and stepping on everyone, whether it's Vince McMahon or anybody else, but you're spitting on all of pro wrestling when you give in to whatever the media or television or the news or someone like that is talking about. All these dirt sheet writers who have way too much opinion power over people who know what they're talking about. So before you jump to conclusions, use your eyes, your ears, and go either stay out of it until you get all the facts straight or don't get involved at all. And this is why I don't go on to Twitter as much, because why am I going to go on there? What do I have to tweet about? Who cares what my opinions are? Yeah, once in a blue moon, I say I'm doing a show or this, that, or the other thing. Who cares? If someone wants to know, I'll just tell them, hey, I'm doing a show. I got this podcast, and I have YouTube I can promote that on. I don't need to tweet my opinions on matters. When if I don't know about something, I'm not going to talk about it in general, because that makes me look like a fool and makes me, you know, like an idiot if I don't know all the facts. But which is why I say you always have to look at every single aspect of every single story you hear. There's always going to be three parts of every story. There's going to be one party, the other party, and then the real story, because somewhere there in the middle is a real thing underneath there. Everyone automatically thinks that they're right in every scenario, but there's going to be a middle ground where the reality is. That's the reality of it, and that's the psychology of it, ladies and gentlemen. I gave you a psychology lesson as well. But this is how I look at everything. I don't listen to everything I hear on social media. I don't listen to anything. I'm going to tell you this right now. If I ever am on YouTube or if I listen to someone's opinion on something, the minute I hear them credit someone like Dave Meltzer says, or someone of his caliber says, I immediately lose interest and I don't care about anything else they have to say, because they've already lost their credibility, in my opinion. Because if they're going to go by something he said as something to be fact, then they've already proven that I don't care what they have to say. They're not as smart as they think they are. That's the reality of it. So anyone out there who wants to be taken seriously by people in pro wrestling who know pro wrestling, don't sit there and credit, you know, even if it is the real story where you got your source, don't credit the minute you say Dave Meltzer or the Wrestling Observer. You've already lost the credibility in my world. I've already lost, I don't know, I already don't care what your opinion is, because I'm all set. People make excuses for them. And only now other people are starting to catch on. The last time I was on Twitter, in fact, someone had asked a very simple question. Who is better than Kenny Omega from NXT? And I rattled off 7 or 8 people who were better than Kenny Omega in NXT at that time. Granted, not all of them are still there. But because I said that, and I said, no, you know, because Dave Meltzer, you know, has paid to say whatever he wants to promote these people, you know, that's what it's going to go with. All of his fans jumped on me and had all kinds of things to say about, you know, me and how my opinion. Listen, I don't care what a bunch of trolls who are fans of Dave Meltzer have to say about me. I have my opinion. He has his opinion. The difference is I've been in pro wrestling. I've done the pro wrestling thing. I've performed in a ring. I have felt the crowd. Dave Meltzer has heard rumors, made up stories, and passed it on as something of fact when it's not. He is paid by New Japan Pro Wrestling. He is paid by AEW to promote their superstars. And that's why AEW and all of the matches have all these ridiculous star ratings, which is a bunch of stupidity anyway. I often think, you know, the star rating thing, which if you guys don't know, I honestly don't remember what episode, but all honesty, go back and listen to Jim Cornette's podcast, the Jim Cornette Experience or the Jim Cornette Experience or the Jim Cornette Drive-Thru. Between the two of them, you can actually hear how the star rating actually became from, where it came from, the origin of it. Spoiler alert, Dave Meltzer didn't come up with the star system. This was a rib or a joke between Jim Cornette and someone else that Dave Meltzer overheard and uses as some sort of, you know, gold star in filmmaking, like he's some sort of expert in it. Dave Meltzer's never performed in a wrestling ring. He's never trained in pro wrestling. He's only sat there and listened and watched. He is not someone who should be hailed as someone who is credible in any way. He is the epitome of an armchair booker. I think I've been clear that I don't like Dave Meltzer. But I want to say that, though, but you know, I know that Jim Cornette gives him a lot more credit and for a long time has given him a lot more leeway than a lot of other people have. That's on him. He has a personal relationship. I won't even give Dave Meltzer time of day, let alone anything else. But I will listen to Jim Cornette because he's been in the wrestling business a lot longer than Dave Meltzer and has contributed more in pro wrestling than Dave Meltzer. And thinking of which, to the people out there who constantly love to talk about Jim Cornette not being relevant because he doesn't like all of your favorites of AEW, Jim Cornette comes from the same cloth as I do when it comes to pro wrestling. He views pro wrestling the same way I did. He looks at the wrestling. How do I know this? Because when he makes his assessments, he says the same things I would say. And he says the things that Killer Kowalski taught me and all of my schoolmates when I graduated in Kowalski school a long time ago. To say that Jim Cornette is not relevant is idiotic and stupid for anyone who is a wrestling fan. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going by what Dave Meltzer says. Jim Cornette's not been relevant. Well, guess what? Jim Cornette's right 98% of the time on everything that is going on. Want to know how facts it is? The ratings, the reality of the hatred for AEW, the fact that Tony Khan is so egotistical, he can't believe that people would say negative things. In fact, he says it's fake. They're just bots. They're fake people. No one really doesn't like us. No, I don't like you, and I'm definitely not a bot. I guarantee you that. And I agree with everything Jim Cornette says. I think he's very relevant. And Jim Cornette gives credit where credit is due. People want to be blind and naive and not listen to that because guess what happens? You don't actually listen to what Jim Cornette says or any of these other people that people hate. What you do is, you hear that someone said something about you or that person, and you get the origin, and automatically Jim Cornette is the evil one, or whoever said it is the bad guy and not the person, you know, whatever the case may be. This goes back. You got to look at everything in three different ways. There's always three sides of a story. Me and Jim Cornette, yeah, I've only met Jim Cornette one time in person, by the way. And in all honesty, it was a very respectful manner, and I really respect the hell out of Jim Cornette. And I also know Bruce Pritchard and a lot of other guys, and I have a lot of respect for these guys because they paved the way for guys like me. They paved the way for the guys who pretend to do what they do in the ring, and they spit in the business that they bled for, that wouldn't exist if it wasn't for guys like him. So before you say that Jim Cornette is not relevant, is not in touch with today's society, Jim Cornette is realistic and wants realistic storylines. Jim Cornette grew up in an era where men were men. Men looked like men. Wrestlers looked like wrestlers. Wrestlers looked like they're going to kill each other. Wrestlers told realistic stories. They didn't teleport. They didn't have these. They didn't come from outer space because no one would believe that. They looked like grown men. They didn't look like, you know, you could take them in 5 minutes. They looked like high school kids. They looked like men. We're talking about guys like Bruno Sammartino, Ric Flair, Barry Windham, Arn Anderson. The list can go on. Dusty Rhodes. These were men who looked like men. Stan Lane, Bobby Eaton. The list can go on. Hulk Hogan, as much as I'm not overly fond of Hulk Hogan, at least looks like a wrestler. look at a guy like Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Junkyard Dog. Jerry Lawler probably was one of the smallest guys. And if you want to go by that, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, probably the guys who are the responsible for putting the little guys on the mat. If you look at Bret Hart versus a guy from AEW, who's one of your favorites, look at the size difference. Tell me that they look more fierce than Bret Hart. I'll tell you right now, probably I don't think there's anybody in AEW right now that I would be worried about. And the only guys I would probably worry about are the guys I actually know. And I have friends of mine who work for them. And that horrifies me, and I'm concerned. In fact, one of my good friends was already injured, and he is the reason why they were getting ratings for a long while. And people like to hate on him, too. But I have nothing for love for the guy. He's always been respectful to me. We've also seen the same eyes. We came from the same cloth. We came from the same background. We have the same beliefs. We don't believe in drugs and alcohol. People like to hate on us then. We like our comic books. We like our horror movies. We like to have fun. We like what we do. He saved that company. He's out injured. They have all these other people. Whatever. I'm concerned for my friends who are there now that they're going to get seriously injured because no one over there knows what they're doing. You're working with a company with guys who are not properly trained. And people who are executives for this company, vice presidents, who are also wrestlers, are the tag team champions. They're not trained in a pro wrestling school. They learned in the backyard. They said they couldn't be bothered for learning school. They didn't need wrestling school. We go to wrestling school to learn how to do things. We don't kill each other or anyone else. We learn wrestling for the background, the history. We learn why we do things for the psychology. We don't go to wrestling school to learn how to do moonsaults or do triple backflips. If you can do triple backflips, but you can't tell a story in the ring or your stuff doesn't look good, you can't do a side headlock or a lockup, then you're an idiot and you're reject to this business. You failed. You can do all the moonsaults you want. This would be like the Indiana Jones thing, right? So Indiana Jones, people know, you know, the movie where the guy with the sword, you know, very famous scene where the guy with this big, giant, massive, menacing-looking, monster-like guy takes this big, giant sword, and he's flipping it around. Indiana Jones is looking at him, and he's flipping around this sword. Looks like it's going to be really a tough guy. And then Harrison Ford, playing Indiana Jones, pulls out his side gun and just shoots him. End of scene. Funniest thing, because it's the most realistic, and that right there is what basically the scenario of someone with a triple moonsault in pro wrestling would be. You can do all the flips around all you want, but if I'm not there to catch you, then it's all over. I catch you with something else, and it's stupid. It's why Bruno Sammartino didn't do triple moonsaults in the ring, but he is one of the most endured and most legendary wrestlers of all time. Same thing goes for anyone in that era. Yes, in the 80s, we had guys who flew. We had guys who jumped the ropes. Guys like the Macho Man Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, the Killer Bees, Bobby Eaton, Stan Lane. These guys who would jump off the ropes when it was appropriate, when it was time, and it was the end of the match, not a spot for facts. So, this has been a very passionate episode, hasn't it, on wrestling. Very interesting wrestling history. But the matter is there's a lot of hate that goes towards people who have difference of opinions, and people are quick to jump on what they hear. And I know also, like, someone will say, well, you know, so-and-so said a tweet, and this person said that. So this is a true story. So my wife, who lives on the social media, she loves the Twitter stuff, and I get it, you know, whatever. She is on Twitter, and she reads something that someone says, and she automatically sides with, you know, whatever the wrestler was or whatever. But, you know, that's just because, you know, she not only, yeah, she's from the wrestling business, but she also, you know, can look at it as a fan's perspective. Me, I like it wrestling. I'm a wrestling fan as much as I've been in pro wrestling, but I have standards myself. But in the same sense, She is one of the, a person who is being who would be. Oh, can you believe he said this? I said, did he actually say that, or is this something that someone said he said? And then I heard the story. The person, you know, that I listened to the Jim Cornette podcast, heard the whole story, and heard the whole explanation. And wouldn't you know who won the pony? Shout out to Jim Cornette for that one, which is, by the way, one of my new favorite phrases. But wouldn't you know that it was only half the story, of course. It was like inserts, certain parts of the interview were said, and it wasn't the whole story. Someone took something he said out of context and blew it way out of proportion, which is 90% what happens with these social media tweets. Just stop tweeting. Take away your Twitters. People who are older on Twitter, like wrestler guys, why are you even on Twitter? See, me personally, I have a hard enough to deal with any social media myself. I don't know how guys like Ric Flair or Ryback, who's always saying something and always has opinions. All these people have all of these things to say. Listen, just stop. Ric Flair and all these older people. Dave Meltzer. I could probably do an episode of just talking about all the reasons why I don't like Dave Meltzer, and I can discredit everything he said, and I can even tell you how he does it and why, and point out the facts of the case. But that's not going to happen tonight because I only have a few minutes left of this podcast right now. Oh, honestly, I didn't even know it was going to come here, but I did want to, you know, make sure I pointed out that, you know, we hear so many different stories because of social media or the media in general. It's important to realize not everything you hear is 100% accurate or it's only part of the story. You should always, always double check, triple check, and look for another outside source. But I want to say that if you think that the WWE is over because Vince McMahon is no longer the CEO and that his daughter took over. Vince McMahon, you know, two friends of mine who are eventually going to come on this podcast, they also have a YouTube show, a podcast, and several other things. That's the guys over at the Technical Rate Radio, Technical Rate Productions. People don't like them because they speak truth too, and they talk from the fans' point of view. I've been on their show, and you know what? I have respect for those guys because they have respect for the business that we have. And I agree with everything they say. Figure guys like them respect guys like, you know, Jim Cornette. And I do understand their point of view sometimes. You know, Jim says a lot of things and he has a lot of different outlets. I think what I think is impressive is that, as it turns out, that Jim Cornette has more grasp on pop culture than I do. As far as, you know, he'll watch television shows that I'm behind in, but you know, so to say that Jim Cornette is not relevant is utter nonsense because he can tell you all kinds of things about South Park, Family Guy, Parks and Recreation, The Office, The Community, and what else? You know, Seinfeld. So for someone to say that Jim Cornette's not into, you know, reality, pop culture, what's the deal? You're a moron because you've never listened to Jim Cornette's show. I listened to Jim Cornette's show, and I it's like going on an adventure because I also love animals. I also love nature. Jim Cornette loves animals and nature. I could hear about deers all day long. I used to be the guy. I used to be the kid when I was growing up to play in the backyard and look at the various different the animals and whatever else. I get a lot of that. I don't always like my neighbors either. I get that too. Honestly, I think he gives his neighbors way too much credit to myself, but I love the fact that I have a lot more in common with Jim Cornette than most, but he has more knowledge about TV shows I don't even watch. So think about that before you say, oh, he doesn't know anything about pop culture, he's not relevant or whatever else. He has more of a grasp on pop culture than any of you guys think. That's coming from people who don't listen to Jim Cornette's podcast. That's people who listen to something someone says or take the Gospel of Meltzer or whatever. The Gospel of Meltzer is nothing more than a bathroom reader or something you could use in the bathroom to run out of toilet paper. Thank you very much on that. That's my point on the Observer. So there's that. But with only a few minutes left, I want to make sure you guys, I want to try to quiet things down a little bit. But I also want to make sure you guys have my proper contact to get a hold of this podcast because, I am planning to have one. Okay, there's going to be two shows that are coming up. One is going to be one that has been postponed that we worked on for a while. It's going to be an episode of Friday night's TGIFRL weekend kickoff. And the reason why that's going to take place is because Jackson, Robert, Scott, and I have been trying to work on that for about a month and a half now. And every time, we're trying to, find our schedules to cross. And yeah, we're going to do that hopefully tomorrow. And he's going to be coming on the podcast eventually too. And he can talk to more about that. That's probably what I'm going to tell him about what's going on with the show as far as it, kind of coming to an end. But, we're going to do that and have him do that on that Friday show. It has four matches on it. And then also we're going to have one last show probably sometime in the summer. It's going to be the end of the road show, which we're going to have kind of the curtain call where we're going to have everyone who's been featured in our show, like the bigger names featured in some capacity in some type of manner. So they have their, the respectful closure that our fans deserve. For them to have and to get the recognition they deserve. So that'd be awesome. And that's what's going to happen this summer. There's not going to be other shows outside of that. I already covered all that the other night. I'm not going to go over that again, but we do have one more show this summer coming up for that. What we know of it now, who knows, maybe down the road, maybe a spot show here and there, like a reminiscing thing. But I think, doing the shows like I was, that's just not going to happen anymore. And the way it was going, I'm not doing that anymore. And so with only a few minutes left, I want to make sure you guys have the proper email to get a hold of me here in this podcast. If you want to be featured on this podcast, come on the guest and talk about whatever, promote various different things you're doing. Of course, the FRL headquarters is always open to anyone who is the FRL and anyone who wants to get their messages out there in the positive. Here at the FRL, we always stand up for love, caring, compassion, understanding, and respect for each other's differences. And anyone who, has a goal, a dream master, a woman warrior, rest of people who want to get their things helped, you're always welcome to come on here and tell the world your story and get some notoriety. We have no problem doing that and meeting new people. The FRL headquarters is always open to all of our FRL worldwide, as long as you speak English, because I have issues with that. So that's what I mean. Sorry, I'm working on it, though. So to get on this podcast, go to email me at wowdreammatches, dreammatches, @gmail.com. Again, that is wowdreammatches, dreammatches, @gmail.com. And there's my 90-second reminder to let me know that this show is coming to an end. So I'm glad I got those in. Don't bother looking at the Instagram because it's not going to be there. Or the Facebook or the Twitter. Don't worry about those. Those aren't there. YouTube, I'll probably be on there soon. Again, working on something. This podcast still going on. And to all my loyal FRL out there, wherever you are, may all your dreams come true. Peace from the FRL headquarters. Thank you.